Productions. Recorded live.
Amen, amen. Like we said, we're going to go ahead and get our recording started tonight, and we are tonight talking about the prophet. And it seems like finally we're here. You know, it's the School of Prophets, and we have talked about a lot of things in the class up to this point, but had not really discussed the prophet, the job, the role, the ministry, and really bring a definition to what the New Testament prophet is and the ministry that God has ordained for the prophets. I really want to get this started with the fact that a lot of times that people, they talk about, you know, when people are prophets or whatever, a lot of times people believe that the prophet's main responsibility is just to prophesy. And so if you prophesy, that means you're a prophet. But that is not necessarily so. You can have the gift of prophecy, but it does not mean that you are a prophet. That just means that you have the gift of prophecy. There are many things that take place in, or I should say there are other gifts and other ways that prophets operate other than just prophecy, other than through prophecy alone. There are other gifts that the prophets operate out of, and we need to understand the different personalities that present themselves to the local church so that we can allow the prophet's work to be done and that it can be effective. And that's the main thing. Anything that we do, we want it to be effective. And even in the book of John chapter 14, which is really one of my favorite chapters, Jesus begins to talk about that, you know, how that we have got to bear fruit, and there's a succession of bearing fruit. You go from bearing fruit to more fruit, much fruit, okay? And so whatever we do, it should be fruitful. So if we're going to be prophets, or we're going to be apostles, evangelists, teachers, pastors, whatever it is that God has called us to do, we want to be fruitful in that calling. We want to make sure that we are effective in what God has called us to do. So first, let's go to the book of Malachi. And we're going to look at Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5 and 6. Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6. Okay? And again, we have just begun a new section in our book. Okay? This is the prophet. And this is the first page. We're going to get on into this tonight and just let the Lord have his way. All right, Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And verse 5 says, excuse me, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smote the earth with the curse." And we're going to go, hold your place there, and we're going to go to Ephesians. Chapter 4, I'm going to look at verses 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. Okay? Verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." And we really want to focus on those verses and really bring that together with the verses that we have just read in the book of Malachi. There is a purpose to every gift that Christ has placed in the body. And since we're talking about the prophet tonight, we want to, you know, really shed some light on the prophet and the ministry of the prophet and the purpose of the prophet. And just like the other fivefold gifts, just like the other gifts, verse 12 brings a definition of sorts to why these gifts are in the body. And verse 12 says, "For the perfecting of the saints." And this word perfecting means maturing. It is for the building up of the saints, so that the saints can be brought to the place of maturity. We cannot be brought to the place of maturity unless these gifts are operated in the church. If you only have a pastor who hoops and hollers and never teaches, then how do we know how to move on to the next thing without a teacher? If we have a ministry that has no evangelism, Where are the souls won? Okay? If we have a ministry that has no profit, then that means that that ministry is not going to be effective as far as seeing the plan of God, staying on track with the plan of God, and being able to be cultivated into the people that God has called us to be. Likewise, with the ministry of the apostle, if there's no apostle in the house, then we don't have God's government in place in the church. And then we are trying to do things the way the church world does things and not the way that God has set up the church. It's wonderful for us to have bishops or whatever, but bishops' jobs, they are just overseers. It's the same thing as being a pastor. It's really, and really a bishop is a secretarial type of position. That's a whole other lesson. You know what I'm saying? But as it relates to the ministry of the prophet, just like the rest of these gifts, have been given to the church to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying, for the building up, the growth of the body of Christ. The building up and the growth of the body of Christ. And it does not mean that you cannot grow spiritually or whatever when you don't have a prophet in the house. But if you do have a prophet in the house and that prophet understands his or her function and understands the mantle that has been placed upon them and understands the kind of prophet that they are, which are all prerequisites to effective ministry, if that prophet in that house understands all of those things, then you have a greater likelihood that the people that are under the sound of the voice of that prophet are going to be able to be effective in their work, because the prophet will keep you moving, you know, in God's momentum. The prophet's, you know, ministry, the voice of that prophet in the house will move you away from that which is stale, that which God is saying, okay, this is not what I'm doing right now. I need you to do this. The prophet keeps the voice of the Lord in the house and keeps the order of God in the house as well. Now, I want to look back at Malachi chapter 4, and I'm going to explain qualify all the statements that I've made thus far as we go through the lesson. All right, back to Malachi. Malachi 4, where it says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with the curse." There is a ministry that is necessary in the church today. You cannot have true prophetic last day ministry without the ministry, without the power and the spirit of the prophet Elijah. And we use this verse because of the fact that Elijah was one of the prophets in Scripture where we see he always had the faith, the spirit of Jezebel. And in our day, that same spirit of Jezebel is in the earth, but we, because of prophetically where we are, our timeline, where we are, we don't call it the spirit of Jezebel. Well, some of us we do, and it's correct to do so, but we also call that the spirit of Antichrist. And the spirit of Antichrist is the same spirit as the spirit of Jezebel. It fights against everything that God has set in order. And so if there is a Jezebel, there must be an Elijah. And so even as Malachi is prophesying, and we know that John the Baptist, he came and he preached and he brought the word of the Lord, and he was a type of Elijah. Likewise, in this hour, before Jesus returns again to the earth, there must be a ministry of Elijah. If we're going to see people's lives change, if we're going to see people delivered and set free, there must be an Elijah-type ministry so that people's lives can be, you know, healed and delivered. There must be an Elijah-type ministry if we're going to see people delivered. There must be a confronting ministry, a ministry that confronts rebellion, a ministry that confronts false prophets and false moves of God. There must be a ministry
like this in the body of Christ, and God has charged the prophets with such a ministry. This is why if you have people who are really true prophets, most folks don't want to see them coming. And the general idea is, oh, Lord, here she comes, or here he comes. Oh, Lord, she grew up on her mouth. We know it ain't going to be nothing good. Oh, brother, here we go. With the idea, and it's well, you know, you just have to understand that this is part of your lot in life. This is what God has ordained for you to have to deal with, okay? And so this is a ministry that is necessary, the ministry of confrontation, the ministry of dealing with the false. And who else is going to confront? Nowhere in Scripture have we seen where it was the apostle's job to really go after that which was false. But we really saw, I mean, we saw a couple of instances in the book of Acts where we had spirits following Paul, and then and Peter, and they had to shut him up. But on a regular basis, it is the prophet's job to confront, not wait till the opportunity is right, but you being the one to confront that spirit. You being the one that when you see it, you hit it. You know what I'm saying? You don't wait for somebody else to say, oh, did you see this or did you hear about this? No, the Spirit of the Lord begins to stir you about those things that are not right, about those things that people do that are ungodly. Not because you're trying to judge people, but because most prophets have a heart. Most prophets have a heart for God's order. Most prophets have a heart to do in God's house what God desires done in the house. Most prophets cannot stand it when things are not, you know, in order. Okay? And so there are things that personality types, you know, that come from the prophet, and you got to be able to understand how to deal with those prophets and these personalities. And this is why they are this way. This is why prophets are this way. It's because God has made them this way. Okay? This first page basically is really just preliminary stuff. It's basically some of the things it's just an introduction of sorts. And it's essentially saying to you that when you have all of your five fingers on your hand, if you are missing your index finger, you cannot really function like you need to function, okay? And the prophet's ministry is that index finger on your hand. And the prophet's ministry points you back to God, points you back to God's instruction, back to God's direction, back to God's laws, back to his statutes, and we need that ministry especially in this last of Eva day. All right, now let's talk about today's prophet. Okay? And it is essential for us to talk about what a prophet is and what a prophet is not. And I think we've already touched on that, the fact that just because a person prophesies does not mean that they are a prophet. Okay? The gift of prophecy is not limited to the prophet. Thank you, Jesus, because that means that anybody can desire that gift to prophesy so that they can be a blessing to the church. Okay? A person is not a prophet just because they have had dreams and visions or because the Lord spoke to them in audible voice, so now they're a prophet. No, that doesn't mean that you're a prophet. That means you just heard God speak. That's what that means, okay? Prophets are receivers of revelations and are essential to the body of Christ for establishing through, and it's important that you mind this here, they are essential to the body of Christ for establishing through confirmation, correction, and direction. Confirmation, correction, and direction. Okay? This is why it is essential. This is why it's been a problem having prophets in the church and they're not getting along with the pastor, because the pastor is thinking that it's his job to do certain things when God had charged the prophet to do it. And so when the prophet gets up and brings correction or, you know what I'm saying, confirms something or speaks a direction to the church, the pastor thinks that the prophet is taking over. When essentially, when you look at the verse, And we need to go back real quick. Let's go back to Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look at it, because I don't want you to think I'm coming up with my own doctrine. Okay? When you look at verse 11, Ephesians 4 and 11, it says, and you gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Okay? Now, looking at this verse, okay? Looking at this verse, I want to look back in Ephesians chapter 2. Go back just two chapters, look in Ephesians chapter 2 and look at verse 20. And it says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The foundation for the church, the foundation for ministry, does not come from the pastor. It comes from the apostles and the prophets. And then you have the pastors, the teachers, all right, and the evangelists. Okay? Or I should say you have the evangelists and then the pastors and then the teachers. Okay? I know that is that's a controversial thing I just said. I know that that's not something that a lot of people believe. Okay? I know that some people don't get down like that because they believe that the pastor is the pastor and what the pastor says is supposed to go. And anything else that we try to do, if the pastor hasn't okayed it, then we in rebellion. But I'm here to tell you that we have been in rebellion for so long that we don't know what God's order looks like. The way that God has set up his church, we don't understand what God's order looks like. And because we've been following the Catholic Church's model, we have lost what God has ordained for his church. And then we are in a season where God is reordering things. So let's go back. I want to take you into the scripture so that you see what I'm saying is the word. This is why you have people that God is raising up. He's raising up apostles. He's raising up prophets. He's raising up people in this hour because he wants them to understand his order. And I mean, I've been doing school of prophets now for about since 2000. Since 2002, okay? So since 2002, and I've got a lot of flack over some of the stuff that I've said about school of prophets, you know, about prophets ministry, about the apostles ministry. But I thank God that the Lord, he is not just speaking it through one person. He is speaking it through many people because he wants us to get back on track with his word and what his will is for the church. Now, if you go into 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm trying to show you what God's order is. If you understand God's order, you're not going to care if the pastor gets mad at you if you get up and say what God say. I'm not telling you to, you know, to become an anarchist, you know, and just kick against every law you could possibly kick against and don't want to be subject. But what I'm saying is the order of the church is off. And because that order is off, we have not been able to receive the ministry of the prophet. Okay? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. Okay? Now, let me start at verse 27. It says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church. Does your Bible say first? Okay? If it says first, then thank you, Jesus. It says first. It's not a typo in my Bible. It says first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but cover earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. What Paul is saying here is there is a more excellent ministry if we don't drown it out with religiosity. Okay, and that more excellent ministry sets up God's order first in his church. Okay, and when this order is set up in God's church, then we can see the hand of God move the way God desires to move. Then the prophet can prophesy and exhort and establish and do all the things that God has anointed him or her to do without somebody fighting them. Then the apostle can set in order, the apostle can help to establish, the apostle can come and affirm be that voice of affirmation and confirmation to the body, all right, and bring about godly leadership in the house. But because we don't have that, and because we haven't had that, this thing that God is doing now seems like a strange thing. So it doesn't mean that people who are at churches who don't have apostles over them are going to hell. That's not what that means. It just means your church is out of order. It just means when you're in a house that is not set up with the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers in line the way that God has ordained it, that means that you're not experiencing God's best. And that's how come we have these hierarchies in the church and these man-made titles and all this stuff, and these prophets cannot do what God called them to do because our hands are tied by the bishop. So we have got to get in place, look for God's order, not the order that the world has set, but we got to look for God's order. All right, back to the book. Okay? There, just because you are a prophet does not mean you cannot pastor. Okay? Prophets can be senior ministers in the fellowship. They can be pastors of churches. They can be part of prophetic presbyteries, which is needed in every church. There should be. And I that's something that we're working on now, even in our church, is developing prophetic presbyteries. It's important. Okay? Prophets can be traveling ministers. And whatever other capacity that the Lord puts them in, that's what a prophet can do. It is not based off of what man says you can do, but it's based off of what God has said that you can do, okay? So I'm going to talk about what some of the attributes are of some of the New Testament prophets, and that way you'll be able to recognize easily or with greater ease, these gifts, okay? Now, we're going to start with the ministry of exhorting or exhortation. Okay? One of the things we have to understand is even as we begin to, whoever we are, we're embarking upon ministry, God has called us to be a prophet or whatever, you have to understand that this ministry gift that you are, that God has made you to the church, God has endued you with power. He has placed a grace, a certain grace over your life. Okay? Every prophet has a grace in their life, and you have to begin to discern what that grace is that God has placed upon you right now. Just because I'm getting ready to, some of the things I'm getting ready to name even now, just because you may not operate in that particular area, that may not be your grace, or that grace may not have been extended to you as of yet, okay? And I believe that even as we grow, even as God begins to stretch us and to expand our ministry and to expand our thinking and to expand our prayer life and to expand where we're, our understanding of where we're going in Him, then we will begin to develop, those gifts will begin to blossom. I'm not saying that you can just pick up whatever, but Paul says, in a sense, you really can, because when you look at the latter part of the last verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31 says, but covet honestly the best gifts. What might be best to you may not be best to me. What you desire to flow in may not be what I desire to flow in. What things you feel are going to be a great help to your ministry, I might need something else in the ministry that God has placed me in. So you got to find out what the best gifts are for you. What is it that God has placed in your heart? What is it that's going to make you more effective or most effective at what He's anointed you to do? You need to find that, and you need to covet that, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians, okay? All right. Okay, now, we're talking about the ministry of exhorting, okay? This particular word, by definition, it encompasses counsel, guidance, correction, and motivation, okay? You are the one, prophet, that brings motivation to the church. You are the one that keeps the momentum going. Sometimes you'll see people that are going forth or whatever, and sometimes, they get discouraged, and the Lord may speak to you and give you a word that motivates the people. You may have to counsel people, okay? When we talk about counseling, it's counseling that's related to 1 Timothy 1:18. You're going to bring God's wisdom through divine inspired revelation. God will give you revelation about situations and cause you to begin to give counsel because of the revelation that he has given you about circumstances and situations. Okay? Guidance. Through the rhema word, which is the word that's made alive by the Holy Spirit, the prophet speaks the mind of the Lord. This revelation knowledge can give specific direction to churches, businesses, and individual believers. Okay? All right? For example, okay, Moses provided direction for the children of Israel, like Silas provided direction for Paul. You can read that in Acts 16 and 6. Okay? Prophets at Antioch gave direction to Paul and Barnabas. That's in Acts 13 and 2. And Elisha provided direction for Naaman. That's in 2 Kings. And I'll give you these verses, 2 Kings 5 and 10. Okay? Then also we need to clarify that when it comes to a directive or direct prophetic word to the local church, the ultimate responsibility, this is what you got to understand, prophet, the ultimate responsibility for discerning and acting upon that word is with that local church eldership, that pastor, that apostle, whoever it is that is there over that church. The obedience of it, the following out of that word, has to be done by the leaders of that church. Your job is not to make anybody do anything. Your job is to speak the word, say what God says, and take your seat. That is your job. Your job is not to try to make anybody follow, because the obedience of that word is left to the leadership of that church. God is going to hold them responsible for the decision that they make or that they don't make, whether they obey or they don't obey. Never try to force a leader to receive or to act upon the word that you give. Speak what God says and leave it with them. The obedience is left to them, okay? Now, let's talk about the corrective part of this particular ministry. Hebrews 12, 5 and 7 says, who the Lord loves, he chastens. Okay? Who the Lord loves, he chastens. That is Hebrews 12, 5 through 7. Okay? And God has chosen the prophet's ministry for this function. All right? I want to read to you Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Okay? And it says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning for me. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. So there is a word of warning, there is a word of correction that comes from the prophet. And whoever don't like it, take them to the word. Let them see it in the scripture for themselves, okay? The next part of this ministry of exhorting or exhortation is motivation. The prophet's ministry charges the church. It charges God's people to move forward into God's purposes and plans. When you see that the church has become stagnant, that they're not moving, they're going to stop praying, you know, the prophet can discern that. And when that prophet picks up that there's a charge that's needed in that house, that prophet gets up and charges that church to continue moving forth into the things of God. How does the prophet do that? The prophet does that by way of prophetic proclamations, by preaching, all right, and by challenging the church to move with God. Okay? Today, God is raising up Haggai to motivate his people to find their place and become all he's ordained them to be. Okay? And we're going to talk later some more about prophetic charges. Okay? Haggai, when we say God is raising up Haggai was raised up. He was placed in the kingdom of God. He was one who motivated Zerubbabel, the governor. He motivated Joshua, the high priest, and the people to keep building the house of God. Listen, when you read in the scripture, you find that they prospered The Haggai's prophecies, they prospered at his prophecy. By them prophesying, when he kept motivating them and charging them and prophesying to them, they were able to go forth and do what God called them to do. Okay? And God, this is the plan, this is the example, this is the pattern that God has set in the scripture, and we know that God never deviates from his word. So if this is what he's done in the word, then this is the pattern for us. We have still got to be those who charge the people of God. Okay? We prophesy, we preach, we encourage to keep them motivated. Okay? Moses was used to motivate the children of Israel to move them from a place of bondage to the place of possessing Canaan. Okay? And so God is doing the same thing. Okay? He's doing the same thing today. All right, let's talk about the ministry of establishing. The prophet's ministry is used to establish the church in different areas. Okay. Now, Paul talked about in Romans 1 and 11, okay, talked about bestowing gifts through the laying on of hands. Romans 1 and 11 says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, gifts to the end that you may be established." Isn't that something? That the anointing that the Lord has placed upon us, that we can go and lay hands on someone and stir or bestow a gift, place in them, to lay it upon them, give them. The word bestow means to give them a gift. And we need this ministry. When we look at our churches and we see the things that need to be done and the motivation that's necessary to get the people moving, and sometimes it's hard to get people to do anything, that's because the prophet's ministry is not there. People don't want to do things because that prophet is not doing like Haggai did and rallying the people and motivating them, but also establishing. This is impartation. Okay? This is impartation. This is, Paul is talking about how spiritual gifts will be stored through the laying on of hands and through prophetic utterance. Okay? When you look at, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 14. And then you'll see what it is I'm talking about here. 4:14, it says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by what? By prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." The presbytery, the prophetic presbytery. That presbytery, that group of prophets. This is why the church needs a prophetic presbytery. Okay? We need these gifts working in the house so that we can stir up the gifts of God and impart the gifts to the people of God, and they can do what God has called them to do. Okay? And we'll have an effective, a very effective ministry. Okay? Also, that ministry is one of activation and anointing. Activating and anointing. Okay? God used the prophet in the Old Testament to anoint chosen men as kings and men into leadership. He did Samuel. Samuel anointed King David. Elijah anointed Elisha. Moses anointed Aaron. Paul and Barnabas were released by the word and the hand of a prophet into their ministry calling. Now see, I know you ain't going to believe it. Let's just look at it in scripture. So let's look at Acts chapter 13. This is why, prophet, your ministry is important. It is not about just being in nobody's church and just trying to prophesy. That prophecy has a purpose. This ministry has a distinct purpose to establish the people of God in their calling, in their place that God has, you know, called them to in the body of Christ. Okay, now let's see. We're in Acts chapter 13. All right, now let's see. We want to go to, give me one second. All right. We are going to Acts chapter 13. Let's look at verse 2. Let's start at verse 1. All right, let's start at verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers. I hope y'all write these scriptures down. There are certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Who sent them away? The prophets from verse 1 sent them away into their ministry. They anointed them and activated them for ministry and sent them forward to do what God has called them to do. Now, we're talking about not doing something in our flesh, but as the Spirit of the Lord. This is how come most prophets, if you're in church and you see a person, let's just say they're ushering, and they don't really like people. You know they don't like people. They don't know how to talk to people. They don't know how to act around people, but they're ushering. You can tell what area of ministry they really need to be working in. And that's how come when you see somebody working in a particular area of ministry and they're not supposed to be there, it's aggravating. And you wish that they would go and do another area of ministry that God has anointed them to do, because the prophet's job is to be able to see where you are supposed to be, help you get there, anoint you, and activate you to go forth in that place. And we have been missing it. And for so long, we just get people to come to church and do stuff that they feel like they like in the church. Nonsense. Okay? We got to get away from that. We got to get back to the Bible. Back to God's way of doing things, okay? All right, so in Acts 13, we saw that those prophets were used to anoint and release Paul and Barnabas into their ministry calling, okay? Now, like we said, it is not because of what man wanted to do, it's what God wanted to do. All right, now let's look at the next phase. Foundation laying, laying the foundation. Together with the apostle. The prophet assists in laying the foundation in the New Testament local church. We have read that already in Ephesians 2 and 20, okay? We read that already in Ephesians 2 and 20. It is necessary, okay? And we're going to talk about the attributes of foundation laying. This is not an all-inclusive list, okay? But this is just to give you a sense of some of the attributes that are displayed in the ministry of the New Testament prophet, okay? It's not all-inclusive, but we want to talk about, you know, some of the things that this prophet does in this ministry. All right? The one thing that we have to begin to see again is the team ministry of the apostle and the prophet working together. That is the purpose. The apostle and the prophet need to work together because we need that foundation in the house. We need that team building so that we have a solid foundation. Even if you, as you go, you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, and I give you those verses in your book, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 9 through 11, where we are laborers together with God. Who is? The apostles and the prophets. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. Who built upon? Who built upon that? The prophets. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Okay? All right, so Paul was talking about this foundation ministry, foundation building ministry of the prophet. And I'm going to talk about this word where Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, where he talks about a wise master builder. This word is the Greek word architectron, okay, which is composed of two words, which is archos, meaning chief, and tecton, meaning carpenter, Okay, this word is translated, or I won't say translated, it's what they call transliteration. The word is transliterated into the English language to the word architect, okay, which is somebody who produces a blueprint and oversees the initial construction of the building. The architect is the one who comes up with the plans and says, no, this needs to go here, this needs to go there, this needs to be over here, this is not going to be stable unless we build it like this. This is what we need. Paul's ministry was that of the architect. He and the prophet working together under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit were able to be wise master builders, wise architects that have the blueprint from God on how this ministry ought to be laid. And this is something that's necessary in the body of Christ. Okay, so that was a little sidebar. That I gave you a little extra. Okay, let's talk about the prophetic planner. Okay? All right? Well, we have the ministry of a prophet. We're talking about some of the attributes pertaining to foundation laying, but this right here is really a benefit. These are the benefits of the prophet's ministry in the house. If we let the prophets do their job, then there's some areas that the pastor could back up off of and let the prophets do it and let God bring that foundation in the house that is necessary. That's how come the pastor can't get the members to do certain things because, you know what I'm saying, it's the voice of the prophet that they need to hear. Okay, and I know that that's a stretch, and I know that that's like, what are you talking about? They need to hear who? Now, if you tell some of these pastors that they need to hear the voice of a prophet in their house and not just their voice, they would think that you're out of order. But you're not trying to be out of order. You're trying to get God's order in the house. Okay? Chronicles tells us in the book of First Chronicles tells us about God's due order. There's a due order. The order that God has set in his house, and that's what he wants. All right. Okay? So we are, when we talk about these graces that have been placed upon the New Testament prophet, okay? And even if that prophet is a part of a prophetic presbytery, or he's just a prophet, you know, there in that house and you know, there's not a lot of prophets in the church or whatever, you can still have these ministries, this grace working through you, okay? The prophet is a prophetic planner, confirming, clarifying, and laying afresh God's design. In other words, the prophet brings confirmations concerning the vision and the direction of the local body. He is God's seer for the prophetic plan, the plan that God has for the house. The prophet comes in and confirms. He adds to. Okay, it's laying it afresh. Okay, this is God's architecture, his spiritual architectural design, the design that God has. The prophet helps to ensure that what we're doing in the church is what God has already ordained. Okay, the prophet's ministry aids that local leadership by confirming the spiritual plan and then helps to lay out that design for that local church. This should be a prophetic pattern in every church. Okay, all right. When you have that vision, you should be doing what that church's vision says. And another sidebar is, and I say this all the time, if your church is something like our church is Sure Word of Deliverance, Apostolic Church, first of all, if there's no Sure Word in there and if there's no deliverance in that house, we need to change our name. Our name tells everybody what to expect when they walk into the doors. That's the prophetic pattern. Your name is the pattern of the church that you are. If there's no Sure Word in that house, we need to take that name off of our billboard outside. All right? If we're not following apostolic ministry, I'm not talking about denominational stuff. I'm talking about what the apostles taught. I'm talking about this ministry right here. We say we apostolic, we should be following this right here. This is apostolic ministry. We should be following this right here. We should be embracing these ministries that Christ has left for the edifying of the church, the edifying of the saints. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's a work for the modern-day prophet. The prophet didn't die. The ministry of the prophet didn't die just because Paul and Barnabas and Peter and all of them are dead. If you continue reading in Ephesians chapter 4, it says, till we all come into the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. When will this ministry end? When we all grow up and look like Jesus. When will the ministry of the apostle end? When we all come into the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ, when we stand up together as one body and when we look at ourselves, we can see Jesus. When the world looks at us and they can see Jesus, then there will be no more need for these ministries. And I believe that that time will be when Christ is that until that time, we need the ministry of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. All right, let's continue. Okay, so there's a pattern that God gives, and that pattern is spurred on and encouraged by the prophet, okay? Now, I want to be cautious here and say, you know, that the prophet is not trying to usurp authority in the house, okay? Just because you can see the blueprint for the house does not mean that God's going to do it overnight. And it does not mean that you're the one that is going to be in control of everything, okay? We have to understand that there's a time of preparation. There's a time of gathering material. There's a time of training. There's hard work. There's prayer. And there's got to be solid leadership, holy, sanctified, godly leadership, okay? So just because God has shown you the blueprint does not mean that you usurp authority in that church, okay? Let me see. All right, let's look at the prophetic excavator. And even as we go into that, the purpose of the prophet being that prophetic planner is because we want to make sure that everything that we're doing in worship, that we are functioning according to God's plans and not our own plan, okay? It's best for us to get God's plan. His plan is already blessed. And not go and try to get something and say, okay, God, I want you to bless this. No, but it's best if we can get that seer in the midst of us who has God's plan, who can see God's plan, so that if we get off of the plan, they can tell us how to get back on the plan so that we can stay in the blessing of God and not just in our own vision. All right, next, the prophetic excavator. It is a proven fact that in the construction industry, the higher the building, the deeper the foundation. You got to dig deep. If we're going to build a big building, we got to dig deep, okay? We got to dig deep so that we can be used of God the way that God desires us. In order for us to be used by God, the way God ordained, and you find that in Luke chapter 6, verse 48, all right? And it says in Luke 6:48, he is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, but it was founded upon the rock. You got to dig deep. And the prophet's job is to come and to dig in your spirit, to dig you out spiritually. Okay? To do that deep work in your inner man. Okay, and place in you God's foundation. Okay, and it's going to take great preparation. It's going to be great pain. All right, but you got to let somebody do this work in your spirit. You got to be willing to let this work be done in your spirit. Okay, we can't dismiss this area of the prophet's ministry. This is where it hurts, where our emotions are tested. And where we see whether or not we have the tenacity to stand and be what God is calling for. In order to become a mature ministry, to be that mature ministry gift, we need proper foundation and digging to prepare the ground for this foundation is painful but necessary. Excavation is necessary for a solid foundation. You can't have a solid foundation unless somebody's digging out all that stuff that ain't like God. That's how come when you sit in the midst of a prophet and that prophet is ministering and preaching and teaching, 9 times out of 10, you're going to be offended by something that is said in that message. Why? Because God is digging you out through the word of that prophet. That prophet is digging out everything in you that you set up, every foundation, every brick that you put in your foundation that God did not put there. He's digging that thing out. She's digging that thing out by the Holy Ghost and laying, replacing in your spirit the right foundation. Okay? Everybody wants to have these missions. God called me to the He called me to the nation. I'm part of the nation. That's skyscraper ministry. You cannot have no skyscraper ministry if you ain't been dug out. Nobody hasn't dug deep into your spirit and got all of you out of the way. Yes, a great deal of this work, the Holy Ghost is going to do it, but then there are others. And if we go back to boot camp, in this lesson we talk about boot camp, we got tutors and governors. Tutors and governors. We need these tutors and governors. We need these teachers, these trainers that's going to bring us up in the things of God and challenge us. And push us into what we would not want to do on our own. Okay? So there's no mature ministry without that digging ministry. You got to understand, the higher the building is, the more susceptible to the storms of life that building is. Jesus gave the best scenario we can look at in Luke 6:48. He is like a man that once he has built a house and dig deep and lay the foundation in the rock, when the flood arose, the stream beat violently upon the house and could not shake it. That's how come a lot of ministries fall, because they haven't dug deep enough. They haven't set up under a ministry of a prophet and let that prophet dig them out. It's important that we go through that. Okay? And if we are going to be used by God, then we need to understand that we are not a law unto ourselves. We got to learn how to hear from somebody. Okay? This is what we got to do. The prophets are spiritual diggers. Okay? Spiritual diggers who come in to dig in that church and they're willing to tell the truth, even if it hurts. Even if it hurts. All right? Proverbs 27:6. Even if it hurts, you got to hear this truth. Do you love the truth? Okay? All right. And even, something about prophets when they're, talking to people, and even if the Lord was to show you someone else's sin, the sin that's in their life, God is not showing that sin to try to hurt them. God is showing that sin to try to build them up. Okay, and we talk about that in Hebrews chapter 12. Who he loves, who God loves, he chastens. Okay, so you as a prophet, you have to walk in maturity and walk in grace so that the words that you use as God's mouthpiece, that you deliver them with grace. The Bible says that our words should minister grace to the hearer, which means that we should have favor with those people when we walk away from them. Okay, now if he just give you a hard message and the message is hard, oh, well, the message is hard. It is what it is, and that's just it. And so you just have to say what God is saying. It's as simple as that, okay? Excavation comes before the foundation. Before the foundation can be laid, there's got to be some digging, okay? And so the prophet is that team member, the member of that team that comes to dig, all right? All right, next one. Prophetic detector and inspector. The prophet can see the state of a people. I don't mean just looking for sin in the lives of people. I mean the prophet can see the hurt, the shame, and the state of mind in people as revealed by the Holy Spirit. This is a needed ministry because many have gone through hurts and difficulties and are in need of restoration. So you got to be able to detect when people are not doing what they're supposed to do. Sometimes it's not just because they're just lazy. You got to be able to inspect and detect, discern by the Spirit, why is this person not functioning as they should, okay? If we see people's lives healed and set free by the power of God, then this vital ministry of the prophet must be received and allowed to function in the local church, okay? So we need to be able to see this ministry moving. It is important. Okay? It's important. We as prophetic people should be able to look past what we see in the natural, and let's look in the spirit. See what it is that God is showing us in the spirit, and act off of what we see in the spirit. A lot of times what we see people presenting, up front is not always what it is. Sometimes there's something else going on behind the scenes that is causing a behavior or causing an attitude. People are aborted from their womb spiritually because of events that have taken place. And we don't want to abort anybody. We want them to come to full, we want them to birth out what God has put in them. We want to see them come forth in the things of God, okay? All right? And that failure or that abortion of ministry can be prevented if we have prophetic insight. We need that prophetic insight. That's why it's important, and I used to tell our church, we were in New Jersey, I used to tell the church while we were there, I used to tell them all the time, we're training you to see, you know what I'm saying, training you how to discern, giving you points on spiritual things so that you can understand and pick up things in the spirit. If you see something, we need you to come and tell us. Don't wait until the plane crashed into the building and then say, you know what, the Lord told me this was going to happen. The devil is a liar. You have a responsibility to go to your leaders. If God is showing you something, you have a responsibility to go to your leaders and tell them what you see. You are no help if you say it after the calamity has struck. Your help is needed before that. Okay? So you're not trying to just push something. You're trying to say what God said. Your insight is necessary. You're not trying to take over the church. You're trying to do what God has called you to do. Okay? Now, the prophetic placer. And I'm trying to see, do I have a scripture? Or the one we just went over, the prophetic inspector and detector. Let's see, I would like to give you for that, so you can go back and look at some verses of scripture. I would say 1 Peter 2:15 talks about us being lively stones. And our job as prophets is to make sure that those stones stay alive. We want to make sure those stones stay alive, okay? We don't want them to get caught up in situations that they're not walking in accountability. We don't want to see churches split. We don't want to see, these things take place. We want to see these prophets being able to, we want to see prophets being able to walk in the things that God has anointed you to walk in so that the church can function and it save us from so much heartache if we could just have these gifts operating as they should. All right? Prophetic placer. The prophet is a prophetic placer. At various times in the local church, the prophetic ministry is utilized to aid the leadership in revealing and confirming the gifts. Now, remember what I said to you earlier about sometimes you can look at somebody and say, okay, you don't belong here. Why are you doing this ministry work right here? And the proof of that is you look in 2 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. It says, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay? Your gift as a prophetic placer, you are used in the ministry to confirm and reveal those giftings of different people in the church. Most people in the church have no idea which motivational gifts, which are listed in Romans chapter 6, verses 6 to 8, or whatever spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 7. They don't know what motivational gifts or what spiritual gifts they possess. They don't know what they're stewards over. They need a prophet. They shouldn't have to wait until they've been saved 50 years before they understand and discover what God has called them to do. That's what the prophets are there for. That's the ministry of the prophet. Okay? Ephesians 2:21 tells us that we are fitly framed together. Every joint is supplying. I don't have to tell my foot what my function is. My brain tells my foot what my function is, what its function is. And give definition to what my foot is. Likewise, the apostles and the prophets bring definition to the church and help these gifts to have their expression in the church. These gifts need to have expression in the church. Okay? before you can really be effective, before the saints can be effective in their local churches, they got to be able to discern and understand whatever their divine enablements are, whatever it is that God has endowed them with spiritually. And you, prophet, have got to begin be able to identify and activate what's in them. And you can't be intimidated by folks. You can't be insecure. Now, we all got insecurities, but you got to deal with that part of you so that you can be free in allowing others to go forth in the things of God. That's important. It's very, very important. For the body of Christ to be able to function as it needs to be, we have got to allow these motivational gifts and these spiritual gifts to come to fruition, and this is not going to happen without the ministry of the prophet. Okay? You got people who their ministry is to be the finger in the church, but instead of them being a finger, they're trying to be an eye. You got people who are elbows trying to be ankles. You got toes trying to be a nose. I mean, and Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay? And when you get down to verse 18, the 18th verse says, but now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it pleased him. Every member of the body has its function. But if the prophet is not helping to spell out what that function is and helping to discern what those gifts are and what people's anointings are, and then activate them and release them into it, then we have a problem in the church. We got folks sitting around doing stuff that God has not anointed them to do, and we got a mess. And we call it church. So we got to work on that, okay? So in order for the army of the Lord, if the army of the Lord is going to rise up and we're going to walk in our inheritance, then every person, every individual has got to find their place in the ministry and then don't break rank, okay? Don't break rank. Okay? Proverbs 29, very familiar verse of scripture. Verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Okay? Now, let's talk about this word vision in this verse. Where there is no vision. The word vision is the Hebrew word chazon, which means revelation, an oracle. It's from the root Hebrew word kazah, which means to mentally perceive, to look, to see, or to prophesy. Okay? The word perish is the Hebrew word power, which means loosen, to make naked, or to run wild. The people run wild because there's no prophetic word in the house. There's no perception, no spiritual perception, no revelation. There's no oracle. There's no person to speak forth the things of God and tell them this is what you should be doing. So where there is no vision, where there is no prophecy, where there is no perception, where there's no seal, the people move, they get loose, run wild, run naked, and that part where it says, keepeth the law, is the word shamar, which is the word to guard and take heed. And I might add, there is the part of the prophet's ministry is to shamar. There is a shamar ministry of the prophet, which is to guard and to keep. Okay, and also the word law is the Hebrew word torah, which means statute. And the root word is yarah, which means to point out, to aim, or to teach. And then when you get to the last word and it says happy, it's the Hebrew word esher, which means blessed. But it's also from the root word ashar, which means to go forward, to prosper, to be level, to be happy. So if you put all those words together, okay, if you put all those words, them definitions together, what Proverbs 29:18 really says? It says, where there's no clear picture, there's no pattern, where there's no revelation through a prophetic word, that the people of God are going to lose their commitment. That they're not going to have no covering, they're going to run wild, they're going to have no restraint, because they're ignorant of their positions, they're ignorant of their ministry, and they're ignorant of God's plan for their personal life and for their corporate well-being. But if there is a mental perception, if there's a mental perception, okay, a hearing of the word of the Lord, a taking heed to his directions, all right, and a standing guard to see about what is brought to fruition, okay, then there's going to be a blessing. Then there's going to be a prosperity, okay, because this is going to allow him, who is prophetic, to teach and to point that man in the right direction and to push him forward into God's purpose, into God's plan, and into God's position. This is why it's necessary. This is why it's necessary. We've got to have a prophet in the house. We need a clear picture. We need a prophetic word so that the people don't lose their commitment. We need the prophets to be able to exercise so that the people are not ignorant of their ministry, so they're not ignorant of God's plan and purpose for their life, so that the people corporately, the corporate body, is not ignorant of God's plan in their life. So that when that man, when he mentally perceives or he receives that prophetic plan, number one, he's going to be able to hear the word of the Lord. Number two, he's going to take heed to its direction. And number three, he's going to stand guard to make sure that it comes to fruition. And when he does that, he's going to be blessed. He's going to prosper because that prophetic word is going to be a teaching to him. It's going to point him in the right direction. It's going to push him forward into God's purpose, into God's plan, and into God's position. Your ministry prophet is necessary to the body of Christ in these last days. Okay? So when we don't perceive God's purpose and we don't understand his plan, then and then we walking in lack of revelation, we can't find our place in the house. That's how some people don't know what to do, because there's no ministry of the prophet to reveal to them what they should be doing. Okay? And the whole idea is we want to see people yoked up to God's purpose and plan. We want to see people connected and bound by God's purpose and plan. We don't want them running wild in the church. We don't want, and revelation is twofold. That revelation comes to restrain, to keep us out of foolishness, and that revelation comes to set us free. That revelation comes so that we can walk in clear direction, clear application, and divine purpose. That's what we need. We got to remember it's essential for this gift to work. We read it in 1 Timothy 4:14. Don't neglect the gift that's in you. It was given to you by the laying on of hands, by and through the prophecy of the presbytery. Is necessary. This ministry is necessary. Okay? This prophetic placer reveals and confirms the placement of people within the ministry. Reveals the placement of individuals. They'll be able to say, yes, I can see you working in that. Not trying to control folks. Not trying to, and it don't mean that you're going to be able to see everything, because the Bible tells us that we see it, we know in part, we prophesy in part. So we'll know the part that God reveals to us. Okay? So it's important that everybody fits in their proper place. We're building something here. We're building a house for the Lord. Okay? And so we got to be able to allow somebody to put us in the right place. Be willing to be flexible so that we can hear from somebody, so that whatever gifts that the Lord has revealed that are in us, that they will be able to say, you know what, I can see this in you, and you really should be working in this area. Not just you coming to the church and you deciding, well, this is the way I want to work. No. No, that's the old pattern. That's the old pattern. We want God's pattern. All right? Okay, let's see. Number five, we're looking at the prophetic charger, okay? The New Testament is one of, okay, The New Testament idea is one of military command. In other words, this place for charging in prophetic ministry is we're talking about militant, having a military mindset. This is not just for those just now entering ministry, but God will use the prophet to charge leadership and to challenge them, to be daring in their faith. Okay? The prophet is used to push the church forward and not to allow her to become stagnant. And I think I've said that a couple of times. Okay? This is the shaking and waking ministry of the prophet. We need that ministry. Okay? This is the ministry where God brings change, not comfort, change. Okay? And when we're moving into things of God, that requires change. You cannot do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again and expect God to bless that same thing over and over and over and over and over again. Every time, there are times when you got to move on and do the new thing. And that's why we need prophets in the house, because the church needs to be pushed forward past our place of being stagnant, past our place of being dry spiritually. We need for somebody that can speak the word and help us to move up out of those dry places. And we all go through spiritual dry spells, but then there's times we need a prophet that's going to come and prophesy and speak to us so that we'll know where we are on this journey. Okay? I want to read, and that is when we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I don't know if I gave you this one. I didn't give you this one. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'll give you a second to get it, and we're going to look at verse 20. Okay, 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. Okay. We want to move, but we want to be comfortable, and it's not going to happen. Move requires change and not comfort. So here we have 2 Chronicles 20 and 20, and here's Jehoshaphat, and it says, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe the Lord God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophet, so shall ye prosper." Now that should be a cross-reference to the verse that we just read in Proverbs 49:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And happy is he that keepeth the law. Okay? In this particular thing here, in this particular verse of scripture, we see that the children of Israel, they were acting upon their faith. They acted in faith, and they acted upon that prophetic charge. They didn't trust in their own strength. They were getting ready to fight the enemy. Because they obeyed the prophetic charge that was given to them, that military command. Remember we said this idea is more of a military command. When they obeyed this prophetic charge or this military command, God utterly destroyed the Ammonites and the Moabites. And he blessed Israel with more spoils than they were able to carry. Go back and read it. Okay? So you got to understand that even for this, one of the greatest aspects of this part of the prophetic ministry is that there's an end time harvest. There's a harvest in these last days. Okay? That is going to be that of the stern of the hearts of the people to do what is impossible. How are they going to be stirred up to do what is impossible unless somebody is charging them? How did Paul and them make it through? Because every step of the way, they were going into towns, and yes, they were doing the will of God, but there were prophets that were charging them to continue to do the work of the Lord, speaking to them and telling them what was to come. We need this ministry in the church. We need, and I gave you Joel 3 and 9, that shaking ministry, that working ministry of the prophet. Joel 3 and 9 says, "Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men draw near. Let them come up." This has got to be a rallying cry. Somebody's got to stir the people of God and wake them up and say, "Come on, y'all, we got to get this together. Somebody has got to come with some prophetic orders and begin to release the things that God is saying and charge the body of Christ prophetically so that we can be blessed, so that we can walk and not be stagnant, so that we can walk in the joy of the Lord and experience the things that God has for us without walking in circles. And I believe with all my heart that Israel would not have had to spend 40 years in the wilderness if they would have listened to the voice of the prophet that was among them. But because they had their own heart and their own mind and didn't want to obey the voice of the prophet among them, they spent 40 years. 40 years on a journey that could have never that should have never lasted that long. Okay? Jesus even gave charges. When you read in Matthew 10, Jesus prophetically charges his disciples. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, raise the dead. Okay? He was telling them, you don't just have the authority of my name, but you have the authority of this command, this prophetic word that I'm giving you. I'm telling you, you're going to be able to do it. And anything that Jesus spoke that had not come, it wasn't taking place right then and there, it was a prophecy. He was telling them, go heal the sick, because when you go, they're going to be healed. Go raise the dead, because when you go, they're getting up out of the grave. Go cleanse the leper, because when you go, they're going to be cleansed. He was prophesying to them. And we need somebody to prophesy. Bring us some prophetic orders to know what to do with this power that God has given us. We need somebody that's not going to be afraid of the repercussions that they have to face because they said what the Lord said. And I want to read this to you, and I know we hear people quote it all the time, but this way you can write it down if you've never read it yourself. Read, let's look at Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. We need in our churches today more than ever, and I can't overstress that, more than ever, we need that foundational ministry. We need some anointed prophets. You know why? Because Amos 3 and 7 says, surely you better believe it, that the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. God will do nothing unless he first reveals it. So we need some anointed prophets that are willing to get up and prophesy and say what thus saith the Lord. Say what the Lord is saying, whatever the cost. Throughout this is why we have school of prophets, because these gatherings, these prophetic gatherings that we have will charge us, will encourage us, will spur us on to do the things that God has called us to do. This is the ministry of the prophet, to raise up other prophets, to train other prophets, not just to know what I know and keep it to myself, but to impart it into your life and then to charge you with what you are learning so that you go forth and pour it out into the lives of other people. Okay? And we want to make sure that we're getting in ministries and being a part of ministries where people are not intimidated by the ministry of the prophet. And the reason why we're intimidated is because we don't understand it. And if we don't, and what we don't understand, we shun. We stay away from it. We push it away. We reject it. And so this is why we need to get to understand what this ministry is all about. Okay? This is what we need. This is truth that has been restored back to the saints of God, because we lost it through the centuries because we let the Catholic Church define what the church was. But this is what Christ left for the church. This is the ministry that Christ has left for the church, and it's a vital ministry. It's a much-needed ministry, and this is what's going to fulfill the vision that Christ has for his church, is by us being able to operate in these gifts that he has placed in the body. But somebody's got to activate, anoint, and release the people into their calling. So this is something that we have to do. It is important that we do this. I gave you a sample of some of this that I put on here as an excerpt from Steve Schultz's book, Restoration of the Modern Day Prophet. If you're a prophet, I would encourage you to read that book. That is just, it's going to bless you. It's going to encourage you. It's going to spur you on. It is going to challenge you. It's necessary that we get our hands on materials that encourage us and cause us to, you know, to get outside of what we know or get outside of what it is that we feel like, you know, this is all that I'm supposed to do. And as you begin to discover what God has called you to do, you begin to see, oh, my goodness, I have so much more that I need to do. It's so much more that I need to have my hands on. And I do believe that even at the back of your book, at the very end of your book, I gave you, I gave you a couple of chapters. I printed a couple of chapters from this book, Restoration of the Modern Day Prophet. I printed maybe, I think, two or three chapters on apostolic ministry and the rebirth of apostolic teams. If you have not read that, go to the back of your manual and read it. If you have read it, go back and read it again. This is going to challenge you. This is going to spur you forward. This is what's going to help your church see the power of God in their midst. Are you getting in line and being what God has called you to be? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you tonight, God, for this class. I thank you, Lord, for those, Lord God, who are on the line tonight and those who are going to be coming back and downloading the teachings. And Father, I pray, Lord, that this teaching would bring, that it would challenge, Lord, that it would encourage, that it would charge, that it would spur them on to do what you call them to do. But I pray, God, that even as we have shared so many things tonight, I pray that it's brought clarity. So what you say our ministry is and what you say is necessary for your church and for your church to be who we've been called to be. And I pray right now, God, for your anointing, oh God, on your people, that they will be encouraged, that they will go forth in the things of God, that they will take what they have learned, oh God, and be encouraged, that they will take what they have learned, oh God, and impart it into somebody else, that they will take what they have learned, oh God, and do what they have learned. In the name of Jesus, above all, that they will be doers of what they have learned tonight. And that, God, they will go back and study these verses of Scripture and get this word in their heart and become all that you have ordained them to be. We just give you honor and thanksgiving. We thank you for those that we prayed for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the praise reports in advance. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to hear of the good things that you're doing in the lives of those that we have prayed for. We know, God, that you're going to meet them at the point of their need, and you have already done so. We thank you for it right now. We honor you and magnify you right now for all these things.